like Louis Armstrong. Break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me for the final time this year, and the final podcast, or at least this season, I should say, is The Architect.
Yeah, buddy, how are we?
Good, mate, how are you?
Oh, I feel like a bit of a giraffe flying a plane, mate. Don't know if I'm supposed to be here or not. Happy or sad? Season's done.
Yeah, is that a common expression, a giraffe flying a plane? This is a new one on me.
It is in my house. It doesn't have to make any sense because I've got two boys. So,
all right, that bit makes sense. With me is Fiona.
Hello, I'm feeling a bit of relief.
Yeah, relief. No, I'm feeling it. Trust me.
I feel like the emotional roller coaster that was this year has come to an end, and although I will miss the football, I don't know, I feel an overwhelming sense of relief that it's done for a little bit.
I agree, but I do worry that we're on the flat part of the roller coaster, but we're actually in Dandenong and about to get mugged. But I'm stealing a Seinfeld joke there. With me is Christina.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good. Chomping on some dinner. So,
Chomp away.
I will keep chomping.
With us is the correspondent.
Hello, mate.
And with us is Jez.
Hey, boss. How you going?
Good. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next year. No. So it is the final podcast, so we have lots to get through. You'll be grateful. Everybody will be grateful to hear. We're barely going to touch on Friday night's game. Simply going to give a head and Henneman and then move to the awards. It's the end of season awards. So we've got the douche of the year, deity of the year. But then the most important two awards are the herd of the year and the Henneman of the year. And there'll be gold herd and Hennemans of the year because it's our 10th anniversary season. Lots to get through. And then we have an epic, epic song of the week, which we'll touch on a little bit later. So I will start with something, just not to do with any of that, that I'd like your comment on. Oh, I should add too, Windsock 2000 is currently in Canada. So he's not with us. Rumour is he's looking for Andy McGrath's left hand, or maybe his composure, or maybe his ball skills or anything else he might have left in Canada. But anyway, this is what I want to say. The last couple of weeks are the best thing that's happened to this club for years. Years. And I'll tell you why. Because as Brad Scott alluded to in the press conference, we could have just like had a decent end to the season and we would have thought, oh, we're fine, we're on the path, everything's rosy and we're all good. The reality is not. We need a major overhaul. This year of Brad Scott was, you know, we saw positive changes, but not enough changes. Somebody does have their TV on, so if they could please mute it, that would be tremendous. But does anyone agree with me or disagree with me? Go around the grounds. You can start. Correspondent.
My 100% agree with your sentiments and Brad Scott's comments. Nothing more to add.
This will be a quick podcast. All right. Christina.
I wish I listened more closely to your question.
Yeah, you've missed your point. I'll come back to you. You'll get the gist, Fiona.
I'm really, really happy that we lost significantly on Friday night, because had we not, if had we had a okay win, I reckon some of the cracks would have been papered over, and last week may have seemed like just a bit of a blip. So I'm really glad that we lost well, because there's no hiding now. There's nowhere to hide. The walls have got to come down. So I was actually, on reflection, I'm really glad that we lost and lost well. And also, the more I think about it, and the more I think about it from a psychological point of view, I reckon there's a psychological thing in their heads. I reckon, because if you think about the notion of self-sabotage, that's sabotaging a situation so you're able to remain in control. And this has got to be mental for this club. It's a mental mind frame that's been in place for so long, so many decades now, that it's got to be mental. And if Brad Scott can't change the mentality and the culture, then I fear that they'll have to get a psychologist, a psychiatrist to sweep through the club.
They've already got those.
No,
as the Winstock 2000 said, Brad Scott, he's our only hope.
Yeah, he really is when you think about it. Because otherwise they've got to do some real mental work. I know they've got stupid wellness people there, but I don't think it's enough. But we'll see. Anyway, that's my little side rant.
What do you reckon, Architect?
I reckon you're on the money. I think Scott gave him a wind up last week and said this is your chance to demonstrate. And I think the game on the weekend, I think even in the press conference, I think he made it pretty clear he saw what he needed to see. So I think he's got a pretty good understanding now of what he wants to do and who's probably not part of going, who's not part of it going forward. So I think I'd have to agree. I think he's probably learnt a lot in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the sad thing for me, Jez, is I think we actually were trying, at least in the first quarter, for large parts of that first half, we were actually trying. The players were trying, and that almost makes it worse. But what do you think about the state of the club? In two seconds.
I've got no fucking idea. I just think we had these games early in the year where we on this pod said over and over and over again, we competed, we were competitive. We might not have won, but we gave it a crack right till the end. And something seems such a long way away. Something snapped at around about bye time or just after the bye time. I don't know what it was. No one from the club has explained it. No one's pointed a finger or given an explanation as to what it was. But my God, the team I watched on Friday night was just a shadow of its former self. It's either a bad week or two, or something's happened behind the scenes that's just shaken them sideways. And I reckon it's the latter. But what it was, who knows? It's just bizarre.
Maybe it's having a lot of our really key players out, like Ridley, who's really important for our back line and stability there, missing Setterfield, missing Scheel, Stringer, and Draper when he's fit is like a huge source of energy.
True.
For the group. So we're missing Bilal. We'll miss, we didn't really have right.
Collingwood was missing the captain more, their best player Dacos, their other best defender Murphy. And they still played with speed and with spunk.
He's just teaching them. He put it to the group to play a certain way, and he's just testing the waters. He's testing who's up for it, who's not. This is year one of a clean out, a rebuild. Like, I see this as the start of a rebuild, and it's your first year, and it won't be the second year we'll see success, or the third or the fourth. Rowan Connolly likened it to he's our Paul Roos, and I couldn't agree more. It feels like he's doing what Paul Roos did at Melbourne, and it didn't happen overnight. And I know, asking for patience, but it certainly feels like that.
Well, it's a good point. I forgot to mention, as tradition in the last podcast, we always do the list review. So I'm going to keep it really simple in the interest of time. We're going to, because it already took 10 minutes to do the intros where we said hello. So I'm going to keep it really simple, knackery or not. And I reckon, given the state of our list, There's going to be a few in the former. So we'll get to that. Look, who wants to give a Hurd and Henneman for the game?
I left 10 minutes into the second quarter, but I'll explain on that later, so not me.
Yeah, well, I was in the pub and didn't see much of the second half either. All right, Architect, did you see the game?
I did, unfortunately.
Give me one Henneman, no one will argue.
All right, so Hurd for me, I'll start off with the best. I thought Merritt, I thought he was the best on ground for us. Did his captain's duties, I suppose. He looked like he tried the whole game. He was clean with the ball, which was important when many others weren't. So for me, I thought he was the best on ground.
Worst?
Oh, this is a tough one. Now, I would say, to be honest, he was only playing as a farewell.
I can't hear you, Architect. Like the last podcast of the year, we've just reverted to type. I love it.
Get your kids off the internet, mate. Come on.
Yeah, are they on the VR again?
I can't help you.
Well, you're back anyway.
They're in the other room. They are on the VR, but I can't even hear them. So
worst
I don't know where
they're from. Worst parents ever. But anyway.
All right. I reckon Langford for me this week.
Yeah, okay. Anyone want to argue?
I mean, I didn't see a whole heap of it preserving the mental health, of course. But I thought Setterfield. I just want to give a shout to Setterfield. I thought he tried really hard.
Should he have been in a few weeks earlier, perhaps?
Well, if he's not right, it was so important to our setup in the midfield. He's just that toughness. I thought it was. He tried hard. He and Hobbs, I thought, tried hard. May not have come off. Everything they did may not have come off, but I thought they tried hard in a team that clearly were very down on. And it just shits me that a young player and a new player at the club are the two trying hard, trying their guts off. Not maybe you think the captain tried hard too, but like not Redman, not your leaders down back. It was two of the new and young'uns.
Solution, I'm interested in your comment that you felt the team tried. And it, from watching what I saw in the first quarter, I couldn't agree with you.
How much have you had to drink, correspondent? Your tweets were interesting.
No.
What did he tweet?
I had nothing to drink all day, and that was probably the problem. And I was sitting there with my two oldest daughters, and that first quarter was horrendously pathetic for a team that they gave nothing in the first quarter, nothing.
Yeah, don't lesson learned. Don't go cold turkey with your phone in your hand, mate.
No, my tweets were this is pathetic. They are pathetic. That was about it. Wasn't that right?
Okay, you were just.
There's a few more profanities and irrationalities in there, I think. But yeah, it was just along those lines.
As Jez knows, sitting there watching it, it was so painful, just inept.
Oh, were you at the game?
Me, yeah, and Jez. Yeah.
All is forgiven then. I don't blame you for tweeting profanities. All right, well, correspondent, while you're there, we're going to move on from the game. Fuck it. Let's just, you know. Oh, Jez, you got your hand up.
Yeah, just one quick one. I know we're in time pressures. I thought, shout out to the Fiona's Forecast. Because the two of you, I thought, did fantastically the other day. I gave you gave solution. You tipped a 36-point win and... Fiona tipped a 32-point win, and if you add both
loss.
But if you add both of them up, you're only 2 points off the mark. So well done, both of you.
Yeah, our predictions were sensational.
Yep.
Honestly.
I mean, you had up until did you say was it West Coast? You said North Melbourne. We were going to lose one of them. Streak ended, but you were on fire for a very long time.
I think I got about 20 of the results correct.
Okay, let's not overinflate the success. It wasn't quite 20 out of 24. Thank you.
Were you counting?
It was less than 24. I mean 20. I can confidently say that.
Okay, there you go.
So but you're still good. Getting... Still good.
All right. Well, correspondent, do you want to? I did anoint you to do the as sort of a Winsock OG.
Yes.
You know, 10th anniversary, the Hurd and Henneman nominations of the year. But you do have to show your face. So get your camera off.
It's the last pod. And stop time restricting us. This could be 2 hours. It's the last pod, all right?
No, I've got to be done by 9, to be honest. So
I've got to go soon because I want to catch the end of my Blues game.
Oh,
yeah.
Bugger off too.
Mate, Giants are winning by 4 goals. It's great. Actually,
how about you focus on what's important here?
I'm just watching Australia-Germany in the basketball. Sorry, Solution, what you were saying?
Well, your ears painted on, mate. Put your camera on. Give us the Hurd and Henneman nominations for the year.
My camera is on.
And then an award.
Okay, for the year, this is going to be very quick. One caveat, do they have to have played a game?
Yes.
Fuck. All right. Well, that rules out James Stewart for the Henneman.
Mate, that's harsh. He's just been delisted.
I know. Have a heart.
Kick a man when he's down.
Mate,
we're about to send him to the knackery, by the way, but anyway.
Freaking list clogger. Zach Merritt gets the Hurd of the Year by a mile. And the Henneman... look, there's quite a few. I mean, I could nominate Peter Wright. He was injured for most of the year. Harrison Jones. I think possibly the Prince of Perth or Will Snelling. Okay, Prince of Perth or Will Snelling. They're my two.
Snelling might have won before. My opinion, it's Pop.
There's a lot of contenders. I mean, if you bother to look through the list of players, there's a lot of names jumping out.
We're about to.
I know that. Anyway.
All right. Does anyone, before we finally anoint them, does anybody, according to the correspondent, Zach Merritt by Country Mile, does Langford deserve a mention? Anybody else?
Before Ridley got out, it was him by a country mile. And if he hadn't done his quad, it would have been him by a country mile. Up against Merritt to the point where he got injured and did his quad. It was Ridley by a country mile for me, but obviously he got
those three are the podium. And yes, the issue you have when you're talking about the whole year is, you know, recency bias or whatever the opposite of recency bias is.
yeah,
you forget. Anyone else?
I forget a lot. I forget a lot.
Correspondent, why do you hate Darcy Parrish?
No, I don't hate Darcy. I do agree that 6 years.
They'll come for you with pitchforks. Better be careful.
He doesn't deserve 6 years.
Anyway. Like, has there been blood on the streets in the last 24 hours, 48 hours since Friday?
Goodness,
Jesus Christ! People, we're all passionate, but just take a chill pill.
Oh, no.
Would have thought you would have also given Heppel a bit of a mention. I think it's been his best year in many a year.
Good call.
I'm just trying to keep the podcast short, to be honest.
Nah, fuck that. Forget that.
Christina, do you want to mention anyone on either side of the ledger?
No, I agree with those. I've got the list up. I'm having a look.
Actually, to kick people while they're down, Tipper went close for the Henneman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's Tipper.
He's retired.
Yeah, I know, but our club's problem is exactly Tipper and James Stewart and what have you.
Maybe we have such a one. Sorry, good.
Anyway, that's it for me.
What was that, architect? You go.
I was just going to say, the only other person I'll probably mention, it's probably more the first half of the year, was Nick Martin.
Yep, good call. Very good call. All right, so No pun intended. Any further correspondence to be entered into, or are we going? Have you? Did you say who the Henneman is? So it's Zach Merritt Hurd.
Yeah, and Prince of Perth.
Yeah, I think he played just enough games to be eligible. And
what are those rules of eligibility?
We make it up as we go along. All right, I'm gonna propose that we do the list review prior to the Douche and Deity. Is everyone happy with that?
Yep.
And we're going to keep it really simple. I reckon it's either keep. I'll give a third category: keep, thin ice, or knackery. So, and I'm just going to go through them, and I think we can probably just pause on the knackeries. So, Kane Baldwin, keeping.
Are you going around in circles? Everyone gets a player.
Should I?
Yes.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
All right, Fiona. Kane Baldwin.
You starting with me? Did you say?
Yes.
Oh, keep.
Keep. Which way shall I go, Christina?
Yep.
Nick Bryan.
Keep.
Jai Caldwell, correspondent.
Keep.
Jez, Nick Cox.
Goodness me, have we seen some of the vitriol Nick Cox has got on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. Sorry, I know where I'm on.
No. I'm happy to pause wherever.
Sorry, like, I just had to say.
I've just pivoted. I'm going to take your approach. This is going to be 7 hours, so take your time.
Okay, good. But am I wrong? Like, did everybody else see the vitriol towards him?
He's 21.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. He's 21.
And actually, in the last quarter, he was in defence, and he actually was like really attacking the ball hard. Like, he was going in there with quite some intent. So he's got it in him. He just needs more games. That's all.
Yeah, yep. Totally fair.
He's the first probably interesting one. Architect Massimo.
Hang on, Jez. What did you give him?
No, keep.
Keep straight up.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear.
Massimo D'Ambrosio. Architect?
We didn't see much of him this year. I would say he's on thin ice.
19. I didn't realise even he was that young.
Apparently he's gaining a lot of it, got a lot of interest from rival clubs, apparently.
Oh, someone will turn him into a superstar, trust me. He's thin ice. Alan Davey, Fiona?
Keep.
Sam Draper. Christina?
Keep.
Of course. Jaden Davey. We'll just don't worry about him. We pass on him. Sammy Durham, correspondent.
Keep.
Mate,
he's not on thin ice. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. You see, they're one of these mediocre players that we just have too many of? It's probably my question.
No, you know the way I think question. It's good to think of, would this player get a game at Collingwood? Would this player get a game at Hawthorn even, developing the way they're going? That's how I think this is a good exercise to think of. And I don't know whether he would. I reckon he's got some things to tidy up, but he has no competition in his spot, so he gets a game. We've got two wingers on our list, Marto and... Does no competition, so he stays.
And Jake Kelly,
and the King, of course, who can play anywhere. So
and Coxie, maybe.
And Cox,
And he is only 21.
I think he's got a lot to tidy up, and I think if we're for real, he's probably not in the best 22, starting 22. If we've got a bona fide winger, in my opinion, but yeah.
No, it's good, Jez. Prince of Perth. Matt Guelphy.
Knackery.
Yeah, agree.
Yep, well said.
Who we got on there so far?
You're running the show, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Lewis Hayes gets a pass. Dyson Heppel. architect?
Oh, I think you keep him.
You've just praised him. Yep,
I have.
Yeah, I think so as well. Nick Hines, Fiona. This could spark some debate.
Yeah, I reckon, unfortunately, Knackery, as much as I'd like to say we have no other like him, and I'd like to say we have to keep him because we have no other like him, not sure on current form he's getting a game at any of the other good clubs. But maybe because we have nothing like him, he stays up.
No, he doesn't stay.
Anyone disagree?
I think he stays.
Ooh. Okay. Mount the case, Jez.
I think he and does fall into the category of depth players, and our aim should be that they're our 24th, 25th, 26th players next year, not in the team. I think they're players that could come in and do a good job and play a role, but neither should be in our best team. We should be aiming for a team that doesn't have them in it. But
well, that's what I meant. Like, that's what I mean in terms of, But then... Do we need another category? I'll keep on VFL list.
Well, this is the problem is, I know the Winsock 2000, who's our resident mathematician, isn't here, but what if you've got 15 players, it should be the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th players?
But you need those, because what if we get an injury? They've got to come you don't and need play the role.
My point is, you don't need 15 of them or 20 of them. You can't have too much mediocre, I guess, but it's a good debate. I'm sending to Knackery myself.
Oh, that's
Christina, that's not harsh. Hobbs.
Oh, Kate.
Okay, yep. I think he's a future star.
Yep.
Jaden Hunter is 21. Correspondent.
Skip. He can't. He hasn't played a game.
He hasn't played a game.
Should he have broken in?
Didn't he do his back or his leg?
He was injured, you idiot. We picked him up in the mid-season draft.
So a 21-year-old with a shagger's back.
Apparently, it wasn't picked up in the medical screening conducted by the AFL before the mid-season draft.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Really?
They're just as good as our fitness department. Fuck.
I know.
I prefer to think that he was absolutely tearing it up over there in WA, and the second he set foot at the hangar, he fucked his back.
Because it's on
probably
on a, which on you know what part. I think we need to send a healer with some sage out to the hangar just to clear all the negative energy, because there's some demons still over out there.
I think we need an exodus. Let's go next level.
They might need to back up the truck with all the sage on there and just dump it out and just light it on fire. It's going to take that much.
No, Christina's thinking all the Winsock go over there and we're just like, the power of Christ commands you. The power of Christ commands you.
Get rid of all the spinning heads and vomit everywhere.
Yeah, that's great. Right. And pea soup. All right, who am I up to? I knew this would happen.
Jez,
we're getting into interesting waters. Harrison Jones, 22-year-old. Keep. 194 centimetres, keep. Architect, Jake Kelly. 28-year-old.
Architect, my button is on the hang up. My cursor is on the hang up here, so you have a decision to make.
If you had stayed quiet, Fiona, this would have made it really easy, but now you're actually pushing my button to actually try and make me say that he should go. I reckon he's on thin ice.
Yeah, I agree.
No, he's not. No ice. There's no ice here. He's the only one who fucking works hard.
He's not at the Knackery, so that's a good thing. Langford,
Fiona, you can work hard, but you've got to be able to play well.
He was not in his spot. He was not in his rightful position. If he was in his rightful position for the whole year, stop laughing. Oh, I'm looking at my screen and they're all pissing themselves at me.
Is his rightful position on the bench, right?
Water boy.
We're going to skip Langford because she's gone. Oh, no. Come back. Well, unfortunately, Fiona's left, but she's going to miss out now. Oh, she's back. Okay. Guess what you get? You've moved in position. So now I had Langford, so we're keeping him. And you've got Laverde. Fiona. Oh, can't hear. You're on mute.
You've muted yourself.
Knackery.
Ooh.
No, thin ice. Come on.
Knackery. He's not the, if you want selfless players in this team, he ain't it.
We don't have any of those.
That's why I like Jake Kelly, because he's selfless, and just like Ambrose was selfless. There's patterns with who the babes that I hold on to. Sorry, Jez.
The fact they're good looking and built
means nothing. That's just secondary. Irrelevant. That's okay. Secondary. That's just cherries on top of the cake.
Is Archie Perkins selfless?
No.
No.
That's why Jake Kelly has jumped above him.
He supplanted him.
Jez, sorry, what were you going to say?
Doing it in this way, player by player, it's a bit difficult because if the rumours are true and BZT gets poached, then Laverde is keep. Easy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nah.
If BZT stays...
Yeah, we might need him for depth.
But
are we keeping players who are going to play for each other or play for themselves? Hang on. Are we building do we want a culture? Or are we making tough decisions on players who fit the culture? Because I can tell you, and this is you can put this on the record, because this is 100% fact, Jaden Laverde is not that kind of player. He's had some really good games for us. He's done some really good jobs. But if you're talking about building a culture around certain players, he's not it. But we may need him. You're right.
What I would say, I'm in your corner, Fiona, pretty much on Laverde. Another one who's...
Laverde. It's Laverde, not Laverde. It's Laverde.
It's not Laverde.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, but you call him that as a joke, don't you?
Where does he originate from? Yeah, where does he come from?
He's from Italy.
His mother's
Italian.
Okay, yeah. It is Laverde.
Laverde.
Isn't it Laverde?
Laverde, yes.
Okay, so anyway, that fucker. I do think another year like this year, and he's knackery. So he's on thin ice, and he'll be kept if we do lose BZT. I mean, we're already struggling down there anyway. We probably do have to keep him. But in terms of setting the standards for next year and where we think, you know, lots of hints from Brad Scott about professionalism.
If I could actually reel off and publicly tell you all his behaviour when he was in the VFL and some of the things he's not his manager, but his close people to him did to the club and the list managers and some of his behaviour to the staff when he was in the VFL, you'd be shocked. But anyway, I shouldn't dangle that lolly.
Breaking stories. And then not declare it.
But anyway, my point is...
I think it's well documented that he picked up a fuss.
Yeah. That's putting it very plainly. But yeah, exactly.
I think he's definitely on thin ice.
Okay.
So good debate. All right, Christina, you have Nick Martin. It's an easy one.
Christina, you've got all the good ones.
Yeah, no, the easy ones.
Pete,
you know, another preseason in him and hopefully he'll get even better.
Yep. Still only 22. Another one that our list manager got right. We move on to Joey Menzies, Jez. You wrote a song about him.
Keep. Yeah, our second highest goal scorer for the year.
Yep. Architect, Andy McGrath.
You want to keep him.
You got to keep him, but geez, he shits me sometimes. Yeah.
Can I just say about Pidge? I went back and listened to our season preview, and Hep had just stepped down as captain, and a replacement hadn't been named yet. And I was all in for Pidge, and I was a big fan of him. And I was very wrong this year. He had a shocking year. I was terribly wrong. I'm still a believer in him, but he was the player on Friday night who shat me the most. And he's gone. He needs to have a good long walk through the Hall of Mirrors. Good hard look at himself.
Is this the Hall of Mirrors from Enter the Dragon?
No, from Roy and HG. They used to have tell people to go down the Hall of Mirrors and have a good hard look at themselves.
Yeah, I've forgotten the fact that he was drafted number one. You got to divorce where he was drafted from the player that we think he can be. Yeah, he's regressed this year. So he does have work.
He even kicks like a hurdler. So he used to be a hurdler in athletics. So when you watch him kick the ball, it's like he's actually going over a hurdle. Anyway,
it's a good point.
What you mean he kicks? He's like got the whole body action, like he's hurdling.
Anyway. And then his handballs aren't great.
Yeah.
I just love that Friday night where he, Flip, and Duz, just the three of them managed to not tackle Jack Crisp.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just sort of like they sort of waved him through, shepherded him through
the gap. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to ignore Zach Merritt. We've got the hanging judge here, correspondent. Rhett Montgomery.
Didn't play a game, so.
Yes, he did, didn't know. He? Can he play one?
No. Nope. His old man's a nice bloke, so there you go.
But you've seen the VF enough VFL. Like, they're on the list.
He was unlucky not to play a game as an intercept defender.
Darcy Parrish, Fiona.
Keep.
So Phillips is gone. Archie Perkins, presumably. We're keeping Christina. You have got all the edge you want so far.
We need to see more from him. I think he's at the stage. Keep, but we need to see more from him. He's kind of stagnated a bit at the moment.
I think he has. Redmond, Jez.
Oh, well, keep, but he stunk it up in the last month.
Yeah, signed his contract and then.
Yeah, that's right.
If only the horses I bet on were that predictable. All right. Zach Reed. Architect.
Are we going to get a game out of him?
Should he just go instead of the horses? Should he just go into the giraffe enclosure?
Possibly. you'd have to say it's thin ice.
No,
you've
got to keep
your body right.
Yeah, it took us 3 or 4 years to get Ridley's body right. So,
true.
What if he does another significant injury next year? Early, what do you do?
Oh yeah, I think I'm far more a fan of Reed than I would be a guy like Harrison Jones.
So, what would you do if he does another significant injury early next year?
Well, that I don't deal in speculation. So,
but I'm asking you a speculative question. Would you get in the boat and row for a second?
If he does a serious injury next year, is he on thin ice after that?
Yeah, potentially. Are you questioning it then? Like, what's
it's about whether you're going to get rid of him. Is the actual
where's your limit
is,
here? Like,
could he have a career? Is his body going to prevent him from having a career?
What is the limit? Yeah, which injury and how long does the injury have to be before we concede that maybe his body's not up to it? And then he goes to Sydney and he plays in 200 games.
you know, one of the smartest things we did in the last 12 months, and that was obviously get rid of Aaron Francis, right? Because unfortunately, he's just not up to it.
Oh yeah, he's playing finals now, isn't he? So clearly he's up to it.
Well, I don't think he's up to it. He's not the player that we all thought he was going to be, and he's never going to be. And as I said about talking about Reed, as I said, Ridley had the same issues for the first 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, we've proven we'll keep you on the medical list for a decade. Could look at Gumbledon, but yeah, it is a worry. I'll end it at that so we can move on. All right. Fiona, you have Jordan Ridley.
Now to correspondent.
Oh, correspondent, I beg your pardon. Jordan Ridley.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, Keith. Yeah. Well,
I should have taken that.
Will Setterfield. Yeah. Yeah,
no. Oh, Will Setterfield. Yeah, keep easily. We missed him. Sorry, Jez, but we missed him.
No, again, I was another one I was wrong on big time.
It's good to be wrong about that one because he proved a real asset when we lost him. Yeah. You don't realise what you got until it's gone, and he was one.
To quote Joni Mitchell, you called him a spud too, Jess. But anyway,
yeah, more than once.
twice.
Bag of spuds.
Christina, you have Dylan Scheel.
Oh.
How many decades of his contract has he got left?
Oh, I don't know. I reckon we can get at least another good year out of him if he stays fit. Because he was doing some good things before he went down. So
he was.
And he showed that everyone said he was a selfish player. He didn't tackle. Start of this year, he completely threw those thoughts out of everyone's mind. It was like a top tackler. He was kicking goals. He was really probably onto one of his best years that he had. So if he can turn it around, anyone can turn it around.
Good point. Jez, you have Sartis. Well, there's no point. He's 18. I'm going to give you somebody who's only 19. To quote, who was that? Was that Goanna that sang that song?
Yeah.
Patrick Voss.
Knackery.
Other players.
You can't send a guy to the Knackery. He hasn't played his senior game.
But I think you can. Because if they're clogging the list, you can do this.
James Stewart's a classic list clogger. Like I said about Montgomery, the club had the chance to play both Voss and Montgomery in the last 4 weeks, right? Why would you not do that just to see what they can do?
And I think that's the point. I would have played Voss multiple times during this year. I've seen him in VFL multiple times, play really well. And the fact that he didn't get a game suggests to me that his papers have been stamped. So.
Yeah, which is a real shame, but we don't. That's right. We don't know that. That's right.
But I think you can still knacker somebody. That's quite crude when you say it like that. You can still knacker somebody who hasn't played a game, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I make the rules here.
That means you should be able to win the Henneman by not playing a game.
Yeah. Again, I set the rules. That's why we have knackeries. We send those guys to the Knackery. All right. Tex Wanganeen, architect.
I don't know. I think you probably want to keep him again a zippy small forward. It's not like we have a lot of them.
But to use Jess's references, he's arguably the Knackery like Voss, right?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Is he a list clogger?
It could be a bit of the whole, you know, the throwback to the father's name that's keeping you on the list. It could be thin ice.
And that's why our club is the way we are, because we have that shit.
All right. While you're in a negative mood, correspondent, we have Sam Wiedemann.
Fuck me, seriously. Melbourne supporters told us all he was shit. We're getting to the stage now where I'm happy to put into the Knackery right that we're not going to have enough players on our list. So.
I just want to remind you all that we excelled and we were fifth on the ladder until he went out of the team and Peter Wright came back. He carried that forward line with Langford, arguably. So I just would like everyone to remind that. And then Dreamtime, he got two goals, but he missed two, and his confidence then was shot, and then he didn't kick another goal until Collingwood game Friday night.
Friday night. Yeah, I did notice that goal that he kicked, which was the first goal.
Kick two, actually. There weren't many, yeah. But he kicked two. But I just want to remind people there's recency bias here because he was playing a very, very good role up until they dropped him, and that's when we went off the planet, really. They didn't give Wright and him an opportunity and Langford enough to gel. You got to, and for him to be a decoy. They could just use him as the permanent decoy to Wright and Langford, and they didn't persist with it enough. But I just want people to go back and remember that whilst we were doing well, he was the one kicking all our goals and marking everything. So there is a lot of recency bias.
I hope you're right, and I'd like to think next season that Wright and Wiedemann do something and start working well together. But the issue we have is other clubs laugh at us for having Wiedemann on our list. Other clubs laugh at us for having Scheel on our list, et cetera, et cetera.
So why haven't you all sent them to the Knackery then?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'd send Wiedemann to the Knackery. I don't think he does enough. If he's that fragile that missing a goal in dream time, he doesn't kick one until the last game of the season, he's too unreliable.
Fair enough.
Question I have, which, look, he's got a two-year deal anyway, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not allowed to get on the horsey float for 2 years. He's obviously showed he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's also showed fragility, mental fragility, because his confidence.
But can I also just suggest that that was the criticism of Wright at the Suns? That's why Stewie Jew never played him, because he would kick goals and then he'd fall off a cliff. His confidence would plummet. That was why he was in the VFL for a whole year and Stewie Jew never gave him a senior game. So, and then he came to Essendon and Truck, granted, you've got to give credit where it's due. Truck is what put the confidence in him. I've got that on. That's my source telling me that Truck absolutely instilled all the confidence in the world in him, made him feel like he was walking on air, and that's when he had his breakout year. So I don't know, maybe Brad Scott can be the same for Weeders, or maybe he can't. Maybe he'll be a depth player in the VFL.
Yeah, well, I would say he's on thin ice because he has to, next year he has to recapture that start of year form and just compete. That's all we need from him.
But he was doing it. Like, and yes, you can argue it's fragility of the mind to miss a couple of goals and then fall off a cliff. You can argue that, but he was competing and marking and getting up the ground in the first 8 weeks or whenever that Dreamtime game was.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. He needs to recapture it. Yeah. But all right, well, so you've got a nice one to end on, Fiona. Your last one, Peter Wright.
Ah, oh, Heath, the big ginger man. We love him. He gets a pass for this year. He absolute does. Pass.
Needs to get his body right though, because he.
Mm-hmm. Well, it won't be for lack of doing anything wrong, as we know. We said last week.
And Christina, you got BZT.
Oh.
So we want to keep him. Yeah, so what's going on with him? Is this a real one?
He's going to put in a request for a trade home.
He's a non-free agent.
Yeah, you know, he's going home, as Fiona said. He wants to go back to Adelaide and. Which is a real shame.
I'm Devo.
I can request things. I won't necessarily get them. Why do we have to?
Because he's out of contract. He's not contracted.
But he's been with us for 6 years.
So he's not a free agent, but he's not contracted. So we will have to trade for him. And people are suggesting that we'll ask for a player, not picks. I'm wondering if that's because Port don't have much. Don't have
many picks. Port's first selection in the draft is like pick 35.
And that's probably why we'll ask for a player. Yeah.
So I think we just get Connor Rosie or Zach Butters, that's fine.
Straight swap. Same
compensation, then.
Straight swap. That should have blink an eye.
And not Adelaide.
Because Adelaide won't go for him. Adelaide have very good defenders coming through.
Right, okay.
God, I had another reason to hate Port. All right, well, we've done it. Anyone not on the list, but maybe at the club?
Did you forget Will Snelling? I don't think you said Will Knackery. Snelling. You didn't say
he's
him. Knackery. Did you say him?
Yeah, he's already. I've sent him to Knackery.
But you didn't say him though.
You didn't say him though.
No, I put him on the horsey float myself.
Yeah, and I think point of order, I think you did that in about round four.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We sent him to the knackery already. This was the ghost of him running around. You can't tell the difference because he was ineffectual as the real one.
So I've got a list here of all our players that are out of contract. So we're Alistair Lord.
This is research.
We didn't say Alistair Lord either.
Because he doesn't count.
What list are you going on? Oh, but Sam Hayes counts. Jaden Hunter counts. What kind of host are you?
Lord's never going to play a game. All right.
Therefore, he needs to be naked.
Exactly.
Who else?
Nick Wright.
I tried to focus on actual players that have played. This is, we don't normally go to the ones that are never going to play a game. We don't even bother.
Hang on, mate. You mentioned Montgomery and many others, and Boss. What are you talking about?
Hey, you won't be back next week with this attitude. So long.
There is no next week. None of us are back.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, no, that's the joke. All right.
Just cut to the song. Fuck it.
No.
All right, we've got the important douche and dull of the song. Trust me, if you're meandering, starting to think about hanging up or stopping listening to this,
hang it up now. Stay.
Jez, what would you like to say?
I'd just like to say that I think there's only one player on our list that you haven't mentioned, and for very good reason. But can we just give a windsock farewell to Waller?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just press replay from last year? I said it on the forecast. For a number of years, he was the only thing worth watching in this fucking club. That's how important he was. So,
That's absolutely right. You know, that is just there was a year. There was years where he was the joy bringer.
Yep. And a fucking good player too, by the way.
I wish him all the best in life after footy.
Yes, we all agree with those sentiments.
All right. Does anybody else want to, like, so I did try and lead the witnesses earlier. Anybody else that maybe isn't part of the team but part of the club that you might think is on thin ice, maybe could go to the knackery, the boot starter.
Dodo.
He's been a bit of a object of discussion.
Knackery. I'll drive him if he needs a lift.
You drive him or drag him behind the car? Which one?
No, humane. We're humane deaths of our livestock.
Is horse racing humane?
Oh, don't even start it.
Does anybody disagree?
No.
What about the humane horse race?
No, don't go there. Cheers.
I disagree, yeah.
Please, expand.
Well, we've got to get rid of all the Xavier Campbell appointments. They're the poison ones. Dodo predated him, so he's down the list.
No.
We need to get Kevin Sheeney off the board.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, really.
It is. It's embarrassing. Get him off.
Don't we feel the administration, like this is what I'm I don't think you had to look too closely to sort of see what Scott was driving at. But he's basically saying we've waited a year and now there's going to be change. And I would expect Adore is one of those. And I've been an apologist for him. And I do think there's some circumstantial reasons why, like, for example, giving away picks for hacks that we brought in or for players that have underperformed is one reason. Kevin Sheedy, like, he used to meddle with the picks early days, so it's a bit unfair to say he's been here for decades. And he's made some good picks, but we probably do need a change. That's quite where I'm sort of going.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think there'll be more changes in the football department itself. So we'll get the people there that he wants to work with and that will do what he needs them to do. So, you know.
I'd be giving Brad Scott the stamp, the whip, the papers, the laptop, the banknotes, whatever. I'd be handing it all to him and just saying, do you, bruh, just do you. And we'll see you in November. Like you just get the broom and just sweep whoever you want. You got free license to do whatever. Yeah. That's where I'm at, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fiona. Yep. Give him the chance to, you know, put his stamp on it.
That's right. And then we can make, you know, an executive decision and or opinion on.
Well, an informed decision, informed opinion about, yeah, in 12 months' time, right?
Or even 2 years, another 2 years for his changes to be put into place. Can't expect it all to click at once. But, yeah, at the end of this time next year, we'll see where we are.
Well, sorry, correspondent, you go.
No, South Sudan are about to play Puerto Rico anyway.
Oh, in the basketball. we do normally do Socktober. And there's usually, well, at least we did the last 2 years, and there's usually something happening around then. Like last October was a good podcast. We had a lot happening. So if there is any breaking news, we will do one. We will do one in October where we'll cover all of that.
What are the dates? Yeah, does anybody know the dates? If Christina, if you're online, what are the dates of the trade and the draft? I think the draft is now November, isn't it?
The draft's always late November, but the trade period's like a couple of weeks. It's a week after the grand final for a week or two.
No, I think, so I think free agency opens a week after or a couple of weeks after the grand final, if I'm correct. Mm.
Let's just say the AFL, as we know, want to own the calendar.
That's right.
24/7, so there'll be something going on.
True.
And as you said, Solution, can we just please hope we don't have as much upheaval this October as we had last October?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
we've got 13 players not contracted.
Jesus Christ.
So there's going to be a lot of interesting things going on for us.
I think there's going to be some interesting stuff coming out of the club as soon as tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yep.
And I'm all for that. Rip the fucking Band-Aid off.
Blow this shit up, mate. That's all we got to do. Blow it all up. Start again. All right. So we're going to go to the next of the season awards, the Douche and Deity. Now, I want to hear your nominations. I do have a Douche nomination. But
this is of the year.
Of the year. Yep.
And this tends to be non-football related, right?
How long you been doing this fucking podcast? Like
just
8 years?
Just reminding people.
8 years? Yes. Yes.
Do they have to have been nominated? So is it? It's a contender. Want somebody who's won it throughout the year.
No, they don't have to be nominated because that would require us to remember.
Yeah, if you ran it properly, you'd go through all the nominations.
That's right. Yeah. Like the Rising Star. The Rising Star, they get a nomination and then they go into the draw.
Way too much effort. A and B. They can be football related. They can be related to broader football, just not like on the field, that sort of thing.
I've got one.
Okay. All right,
the Douche is the submarine company, the Titanic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
In terms of fuck ups,
yeah,
that one was royal.
Yep.
I was going to throw out there the coach of the Spain's women's football team.
It's a good one. I like it.
Yep.
Yeah, like fucking something from the 1920s.
Disgrace! Yeah, fucking disgrace! Like, who does he think he is? Who do they think they are to sue? Like.
If you want to understand sports administrators in general, I'm going to get to one soon. One thing, but I implore people to watch that FIFA documentary if you want to understand the mentality that happens in the world game.
Do I really want to watch it, or is my femininity going to be, as a woman, am I going to be so fucking angry after I watch it that there's no point me watching it?
It's more general corruption rather than anything. But these guys basically.
But there's no misogyny.
Oh yeah, there's all of that. Yeah,
sexist
crap
in that.
Of course there is.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I'm more inclined to stay away.
But
it's all these corrupt Italians
and French and Swiss and there's I've got your back, Fiona.
Geez, yeah, what are you trying to say, correspondent?
Anybody else? As usual, we tend to ponder on the douches.
Anyone else? I'll give a douche. Gil McLaughlin. I think he's leaving the game worse than when he left it.
Very good.
When he arrived. Yep. Yep.
So you know what? That's two nominations. That was going to be mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the thing about Demetrio, whatever you think of him, he actually did stuff. He did do things. Most of them were like, I think GWS is a vanity project that has just been a giant pit of the game's money that would have been best off going to Tasmania into grassroots and everything else. Same Gold Coast, a whole range of things. I hated Demetrio, but at least he did shit. What has Gil done other than media rights deal every?
No, you know the only one thing he's done. The only one thing he did positively was the first thing he did when he took on the role.
The women's game.
No, when his first initiative when he took on the role was he reduced the cost of pies.
Oh. I was going to say,
of course, you're giving that an honourable mention.
Yeah, he's exactly right. You look at correspondent. You know he knows the cost of a pie. The other thing too, he did invent AFLX. To be fair,
oh my god,
Twitter, AFL Twitter.
No,
AFL Twitter. They probably do have their own Twitter.
Yeah. But no, he's definitely anyway.
Is it bad that we all have nominations for the douche and none of us can actually think of wonderful, fantastic things that happen? I mean, this is recency bias, but the Matildas were a highlight this year for me. But that's recency bias. I'm sure some other good shit must have happened.
Good shit did happen earlier this year, I'm sure.
I was going to go to Captain Positive, Jez. He's normally, you know, walks on the sunny side of the street.
For a deity nomination?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Fucking, you knew this was coming, all of you. Jesus Christ. You say I don't do homework. Fuck me.
Well, we've all given one. Jez hasn't given anything.
I like the Matildas. I mean, I'm sort of sport focused. I don't focus on all that other political shit or other stuff, so I like them. They were good.
Fucking useless contribution.
Okay, a solution for next year, maybe we need to do a little list. Just so we
know. Are you going to do that or not?
Oh, I'll do it.
All right.
But you don't listen to the podcast, correspondent. What about when you're on it?
No, I don't listen to Fiona's forecast.
Bullshit, you told me.
Okay, I've got a deity. I'm going to give
you a deity. I have one.
That's why we pot you all the time, because we know you don't listen.
All right. It's descended into madness. Deity of the year, most highly self-indulgent. All of us, Winsock. Windy Hill Winsock, 10-year anniversary. I think we deserve a round of applause. The OG of podcasts, keeping it real. Don't give a shit about what we say. Never tried to suck up to anyone.
No egos here.
We certainly don't take ourselves too seriously and tweet stuff and get fucking offended.
No, I was going to say, no one would associate with us anyway. I think it's actually our 11th season that we've just completed, but it was the 10th anniversary,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, I think the 10-year Festivus has been a fantastic solution, and you deserve all the love because it's been your baby. And I'm just an interloper, new guy, but I loved listening to your 10-year shows that you did with some of your old crew.
Yes.
They were just crackingly good pods. So, congratulations. Well done to you.
Thanks, mate. But I'll give the deity to the windsock and all the people that have been on it. I will give the douche, if everyone's happy, to Gil, because you got two nominations.
So
we now move to the end of the podcast.
Oh, no.
It's groans. Cheers.
Just before we do that, I've just seen on the score that Carlton lost. So
yes.
Well, there's some. That's a deity for us.
But what it means, of course, just to be a little self-indulgent while we're talking about the windsock pod, what it means, of course, is we are now in the solution's favourite time of year, where he pulls out his post-round 24 final premiership ladder. It sits there every week and adjusts it.
Yep.
Oh God, that was hard going last year.
For those listeners that don't know what we're talking about, you can find it on YouTube. It's a clip. I clipped it. The great debate, which was to do with the final eight and what ladder position you finish at the end of the year. But which, of course, bears for the top eight teams doesn't necessarily bear a relation to where they finish at the end of round 23. But anyway, we won't reopen the debate, but yeah, I stand by it. It's just so plain, logically plain that where you finish at the end of the year is where you finish at the end of the finals.
No.
Stop.
No. No one is getting in your raft. You just need to sail off by yourself.
All right. Well, this was so. Well, that means all distractions are gone, and we're going to move to the song of the week, the final song of the week. Now, a couple of things I'll say is I think this club needs this. So,
Nobody needs this.
It was about in the mid 80s. Would you remember Correspondent or Jez? What are we talking
about? Mate, it was, Band Aid was 85.
Okay, so this was maybe 86.
And I think the American version was a year or so later, yeah.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, there was quite a severe famine in Ethiopia and people starving. And so when there's a world crisis, who are you going to get to solve? Musicians. They're going to solve the world problems.
Luther Vandross.
Yeah, with all their cocaine and bling.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg wasn't a thing until about 1992. But, so we're the world. And so what we've decided at the Windsock is this club needs a lift. We need things to – we need to think positively. We need to band together. We need to join together. Now's the time not to fracture, not to splinter. Now's the time for us to collectively, as a group, join together. And this is what this song – demonstrates. So what we did is I booked out a studio and the Windsock team, we went down there.
It was Sun Records, wasn't it?
It
was a little section of the sauna.
But the extraordinary thing is, by sheer coincidence, there was a Illuminati conference going on and Bob Dylan happened to be in the studio. So not only have all the Windsock participants are on this song, We Are the World, or as we're calling it. What is it, Christina?
Oh, I can't remember.
Jesus Christ. We Are the Bombers. You're the star of it. We Are the Bombers. We've produced this song. It took me 2 days to edit it. I'm waking up at 2 a.m., and I've got Christina, who was impersonating Auntie Myrtle at the Anglican church, singing, what's that say, All Things Bright and Beautiful? She went for that, that look. Is that what you're going for? Yeah. I had your fucking voice in my head at 2 a.m.
I was like, oh, my God, it's too fucking low. Let's get up the octave.
Well, now you know how I feel, having to jump between registers all year. So I had your fucking voice in my head. Jez kind of went deep. correspondence sounds a bit. I think Mr. Jez quite liked correspondence pipes. Is that right, Jez?
Yeah, she listened like she was about to vomit, but then the correspondent came on and she said, "Oh, he's actually all right."
Oh, there you go.
Your wife has issues about that. She's got serious issues.
Architect was monotone, but then Winsock 2000, who's in Canada, he just sent it via the IP address, so he's a little bit robotic. But anyway, I and one of the stars of the show was baby correspondent, also jumped on correspondent as well. So
yes,
so she's in the chorus as well. So anyway, what do you think?
It was two baby correspondents, actually.
Yes. Oh, was it two? Two.
So they were great. Can you just do me a favour and don't put the sponsor, put my name anywhere near this episode, please? Like, nowhere near it, please. I'm leaving. I'm changing my name and I'm getting out of here. Because this is it's safe to say this is the worst thing I have ever participated in my life. You were on Santa's naughty list for eternity for making me do this, and I will hold contempt for you in my heart forever now.
So what did you think, guys, when you listened and you finally got the track? What are your thoughts?
Awful.
I laughed a lot.
Yeah, that's it.
I think Christina.
Yeah,
I think one and done solution, never again.
Yeah.
Knowing the original song and Christina coming in as Cyndi Lauper.
Oh my god. Yeah. I had to belt that.
I appreciate
it. Different voices going on here. I'm like, oh, okay, great, thanks. Give me the hard bits.
Jez, you were gonna say?
No, when I listened to it, I mean, it's terrible, but I just appreciated all the vision and the effort solution. You must have spent hours and hours and hours listening to our hideous wailing. And I think you've probably, they say you can't polish a turd, but you've given this a pretty good buff.
What you find is when a turd petrifies and becomes silver, then you can kind of, you can actually, because it's hard, rock hard, you can actually.
Okay, this is TMI, I would have appreciated a bit more filtering on the voices, a bit more solution, but hey, was it up to the max? Was the filter on the max?
No, yeah,
look, break it.
Yeah, needless to say, I spent about 3 hours on it and I got it to that state, so. I was in diminishing returns territory. So.
Mate, you must have had one hell of a headache at the end of that 3 hours.
Yeah.
You think I'm joking? I've literally been waking up 2 a.m. with this thing in my head.
Anyway, I wanted to go viral. I wanted to go mental.
It's so bad. It's the worst.
It will go viral once Charlie Dons makes the film clip to go with it.
Absolutely. Well,
I don't ask Charlie to do things because he does enough for this fan base as it is. But if he was to do it, that would make me laugh. He has done some wonderful, the Purple Prick song I did about Damien Barrett was a good one. Back Pocket Man by Andy McGrath.
Yep.
So he's done a couple, but Jez, feel free. But yes, thanks to all you guys and Bob Dylan for jumping on.
Yeah, Bob was good.
All right. Awful. So, yeah, we won't mention the sponsor something about cake.
Yeah.
No, we won't mention something about cake at all.
My girls are going to contact you shortly.
Okay, that's something that you needed to tell me on the podcast, so thanks. Great. Fantastic. Right. You pass on my number, no probs.
I have already.
Oh, okay, great.
Thanks for your sponsorship and your patronage, Fiona, this year.
Ah, yeah.
You're keeping this ship afloat, so you're to blame.
Okay, well, I know what, and you've put the pin in. You've found a way to drive me away, that's for sure. It's that song.
Can I ask another question of Fiona?
You can.
No, am I coming to pick up the cake on Friday morning?
I'm not sure that this conversation warrants podcast minutes. Solutions already told me that it's going to go for too long.
All right.
All right. Well, anybody else want to say anything before we shut it down?
The poor listener who's still there is gagging just to hear this song. It's just like,
yeah, we need to cut to it. Yeah, good point. All right. Well, thanks to DJ and Sweep, who jumped on early this year. Thanks to everyone that's participated. So Jez, correspondent, architect, Christina, Fiona, Windsock 2000, and also The Apprentice, live from The Hague as well, was good. Rusty, we didn't quite get there, but no. We might get you next year. But yeah, thanks to everyone that listened and commented and gave us feedback and everything else. Much appreciated. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. We'll cut to the song, We Are The Bombers, and we'll see you in Stocktober. We'll be back this year. So thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers.
Or next year.
Bye.
Go Bombers.
It's month, you mean.
Oh, God.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the club must come together as one.
Enthusiasm is dying, but it's time to lend our hand to the fans, the greatest gift of all.
We can't go on pretending day by day that there will automatically be a change.
We are all part of the Big Essendon family, and the truth, you know, winning's all we need.
We are the fans, we are Essendon. We are the one to give our hard-earned cash, so let's start winning.
There's a choice we're making. We're trusted in Brad Scott. He'll bring us some better days, just wait and see.
When we last clocked in, there was no hope at all. Now we just need one or two more tolls.
Tolls, will you realize? Oh, that a change can only come
when we stand together as one.
Yeah.
We are the fans. We are the ones who are winning.
There's a choice we're making. We're trusting in Brad Scott. To bring us to some better days, just wait and see.
We are the fans, we are the ones who are the best, so let's start winning. For there's a choice we're making. We're trusting in Brad Scott, who will bring us to some better days, just wait and see. We are the fans, we are the ones who are on the track, so let's start winning. There's a choice we're making, we're trusting in restaurants, you will bring us to better days, just wait and see. We are the fans.
See the bombers fly.